This morning, I'm going to be talking about this idea of humble faith. Humble faith. And why humility is important. Humility is this thing that, like, everyone kind of wants. Everyone's like, oh, I want to be humble. Like, I like being humble. Or humility is this kind of cool thing that everyone wants to do. But why? Like, why is it this kind of desirable thing? And humility is funny because it's in its nature, as if you're humble, then you don't like look at yourself as higher or don't kind of say, I'm so good at this. And so if you're to say like I'm humble, it's kind of the opposite of being humble. And so it's you don't really know if you're humble, because if you were to think, yeah, I'm pretty humble, it's kind of the opposite. Or if someone were to say like, hey, like you're so humble, and you're like, I know, then it's kind of like you've missed it, right? And so it's hard to know, am I actually humble? Because if I'm thinking about, yeah, I'm humble, then am I really being humble? And it's just this funny thing. But why is being humble, why is humility important? I would say the biggest reason is being humble makes people follow you because they want to, not because they have to. Being humble makes people follow you because they want to, not because they have to. And if in our faith we're trying to point people to Jesus, then what we're going to have to do is, yeah, nice, that's a good beat. If we're going to have people follow us, then they're going to have to want to follow us, right? If people are going to want to follow, or people are going to follow Jesus and they want to look to us, then people are going to have to want to follow us, not because they have to. And so humility in our faith is super, super important. Because when someone isn't humble, you don't want to follow them, you want to beat them. Right? If someone's not humble, you want to like show them, okay, like if you have like a big ego or you think you're so good, like I want to rub it in your face and I want to beat you. I don't want to follow you. I want to beat you. Now I'm a younger brother, and so which means I have an older brother, and he is like any good older brother, someone who likes to beat his younger brother in everything. So when we were growing up, whether it was like video games, whether it was sports, whether it was just anything, it was he wanted to win and I wanted to beat him. And because he was older and for a lot of our childhood better at mostly everything, I would say because he was older, but he would probably say because he's better, but whatever, he would win. And I would want to win so bad, like at any cost. Like it doesn't matter what it would cost, like, I want to win. And then if I did win, like I still remember that time in my life where I was about 13, he was about 16. And we fought a lot, I'll be honest. We fought a lot. And I got bigger than him as a 13-year-old. And we fought, and I won. And we never fought again. We never fought again. Because he knew, like, you know, this is over. This is done. And I was so pumped, right? Because like my older brother who would always rub it in my face, who would always beat me, and now I beat him. Because when someone's not humble, you want to beat them. You don't want to follow them. I also realized that for myself, in anything that I do, like if it's like a board game or sports or whatever, no one likes it when I win. Like specifically me. Like no one likes it when I win. Like not even just like, oh, I don't want to lose. Like I don't want Christian to win. That's what it is. Like my wife hates it when I win. Like she does not want me to win. Like we'll be playing a game and she's like, I hate it when Christian wins. Like actually happens. And I don't know why. I don't know why no one likes it when I win. Like if we'll be playing a game, they'll be like, Christian's going to win. You want Christian to win? Really? Like, you want him to win? Like, help me out so that he doesn't win. And people are like, you're right. Yeah, I don't want Christian to win, so I'm going to help you out. And so I had to examine myself. I was like, why? Is this because I'm not being humble? Is that what it is? Does no one like it when I win because I'm not being humble? So I had to examine myself. And you know what I realized? Is that it's not only lack of humility that makes people want to beat you. It's also jealousy. It's also jealousy. That's what I realized. And but yeah, no one likes it. No one likes it when I win. Because when someone's not humble, you want to beat them. You want to beat them. A great quote about humility that I read is that everyone falls down at some point. Everyone falls down at some point. So you need to be humble so that when you fall down, the others around you want to help you up, not knock you back down. Because when someone's not humble and they lose, it's like the greatest. It's like in your face. Like when the Patriots lost the Super Bowl, I was like, this is better than me winning. Like this is so, so good. But when someone's humble, then it's you know what, you kind of feel bad. Like, you know what, okay, you lost, but that's okay. Let's help you back up. So humility is important. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and then verses 16 to 18. And it says this starting in verse 1 of chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Skipping ahead to verse 16, it says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Before we get into the meat of it, I want us to understand one very important thing before we look at a couple things, is that that everything stems from the heart. Everything stems from the heart. With God, motives matter. With God, motives matter. Everything good that this passage talks about, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, also says that it's your heart. Do it in secret. It's not about what others think. It's about your heart. And everything stems from the heart. And God thinks that motives matter. Have you ever realized that your motives weren't good? Like you were doing something and you realize that my motives aren't good in this situation. Like maybe you're trying to do something nice, but you're kind of hoping, like, I hope I get some credit for this. If I'm being honest, I've been there where I'm doing something maybe and I'm thinking, this, I am a great person. Like I am doing this awesome, nice thing. And I don't want to like broadcast it and be like, look at me, I'm so great. Like I'm so good. Like all this stuff that I'm doing, I don't want to do that. But I'm secretly hoping that like someone notices. And then they come to me and say like, man, like you're so good. How could you do that? Like, that's so amazing. And I think, wow, it's no big deal. Like it's you know, it's just who I am. Like it's just, you know, it's Christ who's living within me. And then, you know, that's what it is. But we hope that, right? If we're being honest, like we know that we shouldn't broadcast it and say like, I am so great, but we're still kind of hoping that someone takes notice. Now, does that mean that our motives are bad? I think that's kind of the tension of our sinful nature that's kind of playing out, right? Is we know that we shouldn't want this, we know that we shouldn't desire this, but because we have sin in our lives, or at least I do, it sometimes creeps in. But everything stems from our heart, and what we do and why we do it comes from our heart. And if we do good things, but we do it with bad reasons, we miss the point. We miss the point. If we're only giving to the needy so that others look at us as this great person, then we've missed the point. I think a good way to tell if our heart is right is if we're giving to the needy, if we're giving back or we're doing things for others, if we leave upset because no one like noticed us and praised us, then we need to examine our heart. If we leave upset after we've done this, you know, great volunteer work that, hey, no one came up to me and said that I'm doing an awesome job. Like, I'm upset about that. Then maybe we need to examine our heart and realize, why am I doing this? Like, why am I giving to the needy? And this is different than, like, say, if you're at work and you're trying to work hard to further your career and that sort of thing. That's different. This is talking about giving to the needy. This isn't saying that, like, if you're at work and you do a good job that you should be like, don't tell me I did a good job. Like, I don't need anything like that. That's different. This is talking about giving to the needy. If we're only doing it for praise, then we're missing it. Praise is also different from encouragement. Praise is, you're so amazing. There's no one as good as you. Like, Christian, you are the best. And like, I know. Where encouragement is trying to uplift. It's not really based on skills or ability or gifting. It's based on, hey, I want to uplift you. I want to build you up. So there's a difference. So I want to look at three areas of this passage, but first, I want to make sure that we understand that everything stems from the heart. So the first thing is generosity. In verse 2, it says, thus, when you give to the needy. There's a very important word there. It says, thus, when you give. It does not say, if you give to the needy. It says, when you give to the needy. Makes a pretty big assumption about us, right? It assumes that we're giving to the needy, that we're giving back. It doesn't say if you decide, if you think that it's okay. It says when you give to the needy. Generosity is a part of our faith. It's not optional. If we're a Christian, then we recognize that God has been generous with us, and so we in turn are generous with others. It's not optional. And there's many different kinds of generosity. I'm not saying that there's only, you know, one way that you can do that, but the spirit of generosity should be in every Christian because we have received so generously from Jesus. And again, the heart behind generosity is very important. We see in Luke 21 this story of so many rich people who are at the temple, and Jesus is there, and they're giving all this, you know, amazing stuff, and they're giving, and they're giving, and they're giving, and they're doing this, and everyone's thinking, like, wow, this is so amazing. All these people are giving so much back. And then Jesus notices that this woman comes in, and she puts 2 copper coins in the offering. And Jesus recognizes and says, hey, like, she gets it. Like, she is actually being generous. She has given more than all of you because she gave all that she had. And we see that the idea behind generosity isn't based on the value of what we give. It's based on the heart behind it. And so even though these other wealthy people gave so much, it wasn't as meaningful, it wasn't as big of a sacrifice as this woman who gave 2 coins because it was all that she had. The heart behind generosity matters. We can see from this passage that it's pretty clear, like I said, that we're supposed to give back to others. And it goes on to talk about how we shouldn't be worried about how we look. It shouldn't be about people looking at us and thinking that we're great because we're giving. It should be based on the fact that God has been generous, and so we want to be generous in return. One thing that I've noticed in my life is that generosity is appealing. It's appealing. Even in our church, when I see people be so generous to our youth ministry or to our church or to different things, it's appealing. Like, that looks good. I remember when I was in college, and some of you would know that my first year of college, I had like no money whatsoever. Like, I was like dead broke. Like, I'm talking like I had like $35 from like September to like December. And that's for like school supplies, like deodorant, like anything that I would need. Like, that's all I had. Like, I was like, I had no money. And so all these people would be going out for food. They'd be going out for wings or to McDonald's or to wherever. And they'd say like, oh, Christian, you want to come? And I was like, nope, I would love to come, but like my bank account says no. I had this friend named Neil. And Neil would ask me, and after about a month, I would never go out. He's like, why do you never go out? And I'm like, man, I have no money. I'm dead broke. He's like, oh, dude, I'll pay for you. That's fine. I'll come out. I'm like, no, it's, you don't have to do that, man. Like, I'm okay. Like, I get food at school. I mean, it's not good most of the time, but like, I get to eat it. He's like, no, come out. I got you. And I was like, are you sure? Yeah, I got you. And so we'd go out for food. And then it wouldn't just happen one time. He'd come to me again and say, hey, we're going out. Like, let's go. I'm like, no, I have no money. He's like, I got you, man. It's fine. And he would do it multiple times. And it got to the point where I'm like, you got to stop. Like, this is like, I'm feeling like really bad about this. Like, you can't. He's like, no, honestly, I don't mind. Like, it's totally okay. What was amazing about it is that he would come to me, and it wasn't like he just felt bad that first time where he's like, hey, why aren't you coming? And I'm like, oh, I have no money. He says, oh, I felt guilty. So, okay, I got you this one time. Like, he would come to me and keep inviting me knowing I had no money. Full while being prepared to say, I got you. Like, I'll pay for you. And that was so appealing to me. And I remember thinking, like, man, if I'm ever in a position in school where I can do that for someone, I want to do that. And in my fourth year, I was better with my money. And I had, not a lot, but I had a job, and so I had some money coming in. And so there was a friend of mine who from Ontario who came out to school, and he was in a similar position to I was in my first year, and he had no money. And I was like, this is my opportunity. And I was like, hey, like, I got you. Come on out. I got you. I remember telling him, man, like, it's no big deal. Honestly, someone did this for me, like, way more than I'm doing it for you. And so it's my pleasure. Because generosity is appealing. When someone's generous with us, it should make us want to be generous in return. Now, I'm not saying be taken advantage of. I'm not saying that let people walk all over you. But be generous. I believe that a lack of humility stops us from being generous. Because when we think or we forget how much we need Jesus and how generous he is with us, then we don't think about being generous with others. I think when we're not humble, we forget that we should be generous because we think that we've earned something. But when we realize that we haven't earned anything, that everything's been given to us, then it's so much easier to give back. A little later on in Matthew 18, we see this parable that Jesus tells of a man who gets called before his ruler, before his king, and the king says, hey, you owe me like tons of money, like more money than he could ever pay. And then the man says, can you pay it? And the man says, no, I can't pay it. And he says, okay, well, we're going to have to throw you like in jail then because you can't pay this debt. And the man begs him and says, I'm so sorry, be patient with me. I will pay, be patient with me. And the ruler takes pity on him and says, you know what? I know that you can never pay this back. Like, I know that there's no way you can ever pay this debt back, so I'm going to forgive the debt completely. And the man is like blown away. Thank you so much. Like, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. And he leaves. And when he leaves, he sees a man in the street who owes him much, much less, like ridiculously less than what he owed his king. And he sees him and he grabs him by the throat and says, you owe me money, where is it? And the man says, I'm sorry, I don't have it, be patient with me. The very same thing he was saying just a few moments earlier. Be patient with me, I'll pay it. And the man says, no, too bad, and throws him in prison because he can't pay his debt. And the king goes on to find out and calls this servant before him and says, you wicked servant, I gave you so much and you can't forgive a little debt? See, I believe that this servant was not humble whatsoever. Because his lack of humility was so great that he couldn't even recognize that the situation that this man that owed him a little was in was the exact same situation that he was just in for much, much more. Because of his lack of humility, he didn't even realize that's what was happening. And so he thought this person owed him money so much less than him that he couldn't forgive that debt. He couldn't let that one go because he thought, this person is worse than me. Lack of humility stops us from being generous. But when we humble ourselves, it's much easier to be generous with others. The second thing this passage talks about is prayer. In verse 5, it says, and when you pray, again, when, not if, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. The context here is that the religious leaders of the time were some of the only ones who had access to the scriptures and some of the only ones who had the education to understand them and read them. And so they would be on the synagogues, the street corners, and they'd be praying so eloquently, and then people would be walking by and being like, man, like, these guys are good. Like, I could never be like them. They know so many big words. I don't know what that means, but it sounds awesome. So that's what they would be doing. And so Jesus is saying they're missing the entire point of prayer. They're missing it because their heart isn't in it. Their heart and their motives aren't pure. They're doing it to look good. See, prayer comes out of thankfulness. Prayer comes out of a response of we know that God is our source and we need him. And so we humble ourselves and pray because we know that we need God. But these people weren't doing that. Today, prayer can almost be like an afterthought. In our culture today, there is oftentimes so little that we need to rely on God for. We have a place to live. We have more clothes than we need. We have more access to food than we could ever eat. And so it can be very easy when things are going pretty well in your life or normal in your life to not rely on God because you have everything that you think that you need. Now, of course, there are times where things go wrong and things don't work out and we know that we need God right now. But maybe in years past or in different parts of the world, they need to rely on God a whole lot more than us. Because even their daily needs that we take for granted, they need to rely on God for. And so prayer can almost be this afterthought. Because it can be so easy to go about our days, weeks, and months and think of prayer as this thing that we do for others. Like, I'm going to pray for others because they need God or they have this situation. But we don't actually rely on God ourselves. And again, humility is important in our prayers because prayer, when we ask God for things, we're admitting that we need him. We're admitting that, God, we need your help, so I'm going to pray. Now, if you're like me, I hate asking for help. Anyone like me? You hate asking for help? Like, I'm the kind of person that I will try, like, 20 different ways to do something before I ask for help. Just this week, I was moving this big desk, and I was trying to do it on my own, and I'm, like, sweating, and I'm, like, bashing things against the wall. I'm doing whatever I can to try to do this, and I realize I can't do this. And so I called my friend Chris and said, hey, Chris, can you help me move this desk? And it was so much easier. But I had to try by myself first, right? Because I don't really like asking for help. That's a pride thing. That's a pride thing. It's thinking that we don't need help. Others might need help, and I'm happy to help others, but like, I don't need help myself. That's a pride thing. I think sometimes we do that with God, honestly. We think, oh, I don't want to bother God with like my stuff, but I'll pray for others because they really need him, but like, I'm doing pretty good. So like, I'll pray for others, but like, I don't really need prayer. That's pride. It's a pride issue. And sometimes we even turn it around in our own heads and we think, you know what, like, there are so many people who need it, who need God much more than me, so I won't even worry about like myself. Like, I'm going to worry about them because they need God more than I do. And we tell ourselves that story. And that's a pride thing. And we think God's busy, like God's too busy. Like, for if this person has so much more going on than me, so like God's too busy to deal with my stuff. Do you know that God doesn't need an appointment book? Because his schedule never gets full. His schedule never gets full. It's not like if he has someone else for a 3 o'clock that he can't take you at 3 o'clock too. His schedule is never full. He doesn't need an appointment book. Just because someone might be going through something that's worse than what you're going through doesn't mean that God doesn't care about your situation. We need to humble ourselves and admit that we need God. And that when we pray, not if, let's make sure that our heart is humble. Let's fight against pride. And that's me. This is one of the things that I struggle with the most. It's like, oh, people need God more than I do, so I'll just like, you know, I'll pray for them, but I don't really need it. And that's pride. That's pride coming in, thinking that I'm, you know, above it or whatever. When we pray, not if, let's make sure our heart is humble and we are praying because we need God, not for the approval of others. I remember when I was younger, I remember thinking to myself, like, I grew up in the church, and so I grew up, and my dad was a pastor, and so I could pray, like, you know, if you were to judge it, like people listening, like fairly well, because I'd been in church a long time. Remember one time I thought to myself, like, I only really pray when it's like at youth group or when it's at whatever. I'm like, I don't actually pray like a lot on my own. And I found myself when I would pray like out loud in front of people, I would pray so different than if I did pray by myself, than I would pray. Because I'd be thinking like, oh, I want to sound good. Like, I want people to be like, man, like that's good. Like, that's a good prayer. And that's what would happen. When we pray, not if, let's make sure our heart is humble and we're doing it because we need God, not for the approval of others. And lastly, the third one is fasting. In verse 16, again, it says, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. If you're not familiar with what fasting is to abstain from food is what it's talking about here. And in most examples, I think actually all examples of the Bible and fasting are abstaining from food and replacing that time with prayer. Now today we fast different things and that's great. We'll fast like social media or fast TV or Netflix or whatever it may be, and that's great. And the whole point of fasting is that we replace that time with time spent with God. And Jesus is saying this here is because what people were doing is people would start fasting, but they would let everyone know they were fasting. So they would walk around, they wouldn't shave, they'd have dirty clothes, and be like, I'm so hungry, I haven't eaten in days. I've been praying nonstop. And people would be like, oh, yeah, I'm just so hungry. Like, but food, get behind me, I don't even care. Like, I love Jesus so much, so I just don't want to do that. And so Jesus is saying, you're missing the point. Like, if you're fasting, it's between you and God. It's not a public thing. It's not a, hey, look at me, I'm doing this great thing, and because that puts the attention on yourself. So what they would basically do is they would purposely be hangry. You guys know what hangry is? When you're so hungry, you get angry. That's what hangry is. So they would purposely walk around and be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I have a short temper right now, but it's just because I haven't eaten in like 3 days because I've been fasting, so that's just why I've been upset, but you know, forgive me. I'll pray about that later. I'll skip breakfast, right? I'll pray about it later. So Jesus is saying, no, you're missing it, you're missing it, you're missing it. Because fasting without prayer doesn't exist. The whole purpose of fasting is to replace something with God, with time spent with God. But the point is clear. There can be no such thing as fasting without prayer. That's called like a diet. And not a good one, like because you're supposed to eat. You can't fast without prayer. It goes hand in hand. And we see in Scripture there's a couple different reasons why people fasted. Jesus himself fasted to prepare for ministry. When we seek wisdom, sometimes we fast. Paul and Barnabas did this. or to worship, just to say, God, you know what? Like, I'm gonna put you first. And in this little way, like maybe I'm gonna fast this or fast that because I wanna put you first in this situation. And so we worship with that. But when we fast, we humble ourselves because we are putting our worldly desires second and we're putting God first. Humility is so important in our faith. Humility plays out in our generosity because we recognize we need God and so we share with others. Prayer, humility is so important in prayer because we recognize, God, we need you. We need you. We need you. And in fasting, it's important because we're saying, God, we're putting you first. We're going to humble ourselves in what we want. We're going to put you first. So to conclude, this passage makes it clear that motives matter. Motives matter. And our human nature wants to be rewarded. That's natural. Like, our human nature is like, if I do something, I want to be rewarded. And what I found interesting is I kind of always thought that we shouldn't want any reward whatsoever. Like, if we pray, if we're generous, if we fast, we shouldn't want any reward whatsoever. But I found it interesting that in this passage, it actually says pretty clearly that we will be rewarded. The only thing is we have to choose our reward. We have to choose who gives us our reward. See, in verse 4, 6, and 18, it says the same thing. It says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there is a reward. The other verses say, like, oh, people who pray in front of others, they receive their reward, which is, oh, they get attention and they get people to like them. Or when they fast, people will be, you know, envious of them or admire them, and that's their reward. But those who do it in secret will be rewarded by their Heavenly Father. And so we get to choose what our reward is. We can choose our reward. We can say, you know what? I'm going to do this so that other people think that I'm so great. Or we can say, I want to do this because I want to be rewarded by my Heavenly Father. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty confident that the reward that Jesus can give us is better than any reward that anyone else can give us. Pretty confident. So my challenge for us today is that let's let our faith be humble. Let's recognize that we're not anything special. There's nothing that we can give that God can't already get. Let's let our faith be humble. Let's let the rewards that we seek be heavenly rewards because they're the rewards that last. Our reward is that we get to spend eternity with Jesus. And it's okay to want that. Like, it's okay to want to be rewarded with eternity with Jesus. That's okay. But if our motives are because we want others to view us and admire us and think that we're so good, then we've missed it. Then we've missed it. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. God, we recognize this morning that we need you. God, I pray that in the situations in our life where we maybe aren't humble, the situations in my life when I'm not humble, God, I pray that you would reveal those things to us so that we could recognize in those areas that we need you and that we would put you first. God, in this week coming up, God, I pray that you would just reveal certain and nudge us in certain things of how we can be more humble in our faith. God, you are so good to us, and we know that even when we struggle, even when we fail, that your grace is so generous to us, that you're a generous God. God, I pray that in our fasting, in our prayer, and in our generosity, that you would shine through and that attention would be placed on you and not on us. God, we love you. Give us a great week. And we're so excited for the things that we get to do because of you. Amen.